We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Governor, the budget you presented this week doesn't include any new taxes. That's a change from the previous 2 years. Is this mainly a reflection of Rhode Island's improving economy, how you had a better-than-expected surplus to work with and better-than-expected revenues?
As I said in the State of the State, certainly the improving economy is part of our ability to have no tax increase. But a big part of it also is, as I said in the State of the State, is we're running the state well. And that's very, very important. Every department's coming in below budget. And that hasn't happened in a long time. We're not having a supplemental request to the General Assembly to fill in overruns to certain departments. It's very hard to do in some of these departments, but we're doing it. And that's why we're generating these surpluses that allow us not to have a tax increase. We're running the state well, and I'm very, very proud of the directors of all the departments. My cabinet is one of the best, I think, the state's ever seen, and the result is we're not having a tax increase. They're running the departments well. It's a great accomplishment.
Give us a brief description of your thinking of how you formed your budget and what you saw as the most important elements.
Well, it starts with priorities. You start when you craft your budget. The outline is going to be where are we going to invest if we have the ability to invest, and where are we going to cut if we have to cut. And so my priorities are very consistent. Let's invest in education. Let's invest in our roads and bridges and the maintenance of them. Let's invest in connecting employers with employees that are looking for work. There shouldn't be a gap between the two. And most importantly, make sure our cities and towns across the state are doing well financially. And let's, as a state, help them when needed, especially those that are struggling, West Warwick, Woonsocket, Pawtucket, Central Falls, to some extent, Providence, East Providence. That's very important. Those are my priorities.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, you say that you're very proud of your cabinet, and I can see why. You put together the Doris Kearns Goodwin on Lincoln team of rivals. You have prominent Democrats, particularly Charlie Fogarty, former lieutenant governor, is your labor director. You have another former lieutenant governor, Richard Leach, who's your administration director. I'm wondering, why don't you use these gentlemen more often lobbying with the legislature? It seems that they do have some ties, particularly with the Senate, where I know you work well with the House, but you've had some jousting with the Senate.
And don't forget former finance chair Stephen Constantino.
That's correct.
As Secretary of Health and Human Services. So we've got a great team, and they have been lobbying, and now we're hopefully coming into a very successful budget year. We've been through some difficult economic times, and legislatures made their decisions, but it wasn't for lack of lobbying by the individuals you mentioned. Richard Leach and Steve Constantino and Charlie Fogarty were a great team. I'm very proud of it. One thing I learned from my time as mayor of Warwick was that it's a team approach. And you're not going to be successful without good directors. And so when I got elected and in that transition, the biggest task, the most important area to address was attracting good people to run these departments. I'm very happy with the people that agreed to serve in state government. It's a great team. And the results now are being, the ramifications are being felt by this good budget.
Governor, we're seeing a bigger focus on the economy, not just from you, but also from House Speaker Gordon Fox and Senate President Teresa Pivoweed. We know, of course, you've been in office only since January 2011. But what do you say to Rhode Islanders who think the state has been too slow in responding to the economic problems since we went into the recession in 2007?
Well, you can't say there's not a sense of urgency with this administration. I've heard that accusation. It's just completely false. I mean, there's nothing more important than getting our economy going, getting Rhode Islanders back to work. I mean, that was just the highest priority, knowing the high rate of unemployment and the stress on families across Rhode Island, that there's just no more important thing. You can't say that because of my style, which is very deliberative and methodical, that there wasn't a sense of urgency. And now that style is paying off. We're building the economy the right way with the right investments. And we're not panicking, which we saw the previous governor do with an ill-thought-out plan to attract jobs. With the 38 Studios deal, that was just it was pure panic. And we'll never do that in this administration.
You know, some of these ratings are legitimate, but a lot of the ratings that some people in the business community subscribe to, which show Rhode Island at the bottom of everything, as if we were Mississippi, are just specious and foolish. And at what point it just drives you a little batty when you see some of these things? And this other thing I want to ask, it's a two-part question. What is it? You've lived here all your life. You've served in many, many different offices, from city council to U.S. Senate to governor. And what is the Rhode Island penchant for seeing things, that glass always is half empty instead of half full? It seems sometimes we dwell in self-laceration and navel-gazing.
Yes, that's certainly a frustration of mine. And sometimes people compare us to Texas, and no one would go to Texas and tell them how terrible they were. It's that attitude of don't mess with Texas. And we just don't have that here in Rhode Island, to have that Boston Reserve banker come in and tell us that we don't have any vision. I mean, that's
one of Fall River.
Yes, have constructive criticism. Tell us what we can do better, and that's our task. I'm very welcoming to constructive criticism. I just don't like the negativity that I call it irrational negativity, and it's kind of settled over Rhode Island. And I'm not going to stand for it. We're going to be cognizant of those areas we can improve on and not be naive, but at the same time be enthusiastic and optimistic. And we know we have a great state, and we know the future is limitless when we all work together. That's our task. It does take work to get the General Assembly and everybody, the labor and the business community, the governor's office, all working together. That's my task, and it does take work, and I enjoy the work.
Governor, the General Assembly pulled one of its late-night budget surprises last June when it approved a merger of the state boards overseeing K-12 and public higher education. People criticized that process. Why did you wait until January to appoint the members for that merged board?
The board needed to have Senate confirmation, and they indicated they would not come in prior to January to approve any boards. I had EDC boards waiting to be confirmed. So there was no need to appoint these members because they weren't going to get confirmed until January.
Your appointee to chair that board, George Carullo, backed out in December after taking on the appointment in November. Is that related to the 2014 gubernatorial race and how Carullo is an advisor to both yourself and Providence Mayor Angel Taveras?
No, George Carullo was a good choice to head up the new unified board, and for work reasons, he was not able to do that work, and I'm happy to have Eva Mancuso step in, and so things are going forward, and I still admire and respect George Carullo and look forward to working with him in many areas. We will work together.
Governor, you've been a pretty prominent supporter of same-sex marriage. What do you think makes this year different than the last couple of years, when you were able to get only a civil union and not the full marriage equality, which, of course, our five other New England neighboring states all have?
What's different this year is that it's been just a drumbeat of other states approving it, particularly in this past election around the country, having other states approve it by referendum. And now it's our turn. And if we're going to have a focus on growing our economy, it goes beyond just a civil rights issue and a fairness issue, which of course it is, but now it's an economic issue. How can we be at a disadvantage to our neighbors on attracting talent and not having a welcome mat out at our borders saying, come here if you want to have a same-gender marriage and work here and grow our economy here, when our other states do?
I understand that, but you mentioned referenda. It's true, in four states for the first time in the 2012 cycle, the gay marriage side did win. However, you've said that you veto a referendum. You don't want to see that here in Rhode Island. You want the legislature to make the decision.
Yes, I don't want to see them take every tough decision and send it out to the voters. That's just not what I believe in. Step up to the plate and cast your vote. And that's what representative democracy is all about. And I've been consistent on this since my days as a delegate at the Constitutional Convention. We talked about voter initiative, and I posted it back then in 1986.
Well, what kind of lobbying do you think you can do different this year, particularly with the Senate, that could move this thing forward?
I'm looking forward to lobbying any senator that is on the fence. I'll be calling. I have already in passing senators saying, let's get this passed this year.
Governor, you told me in a recent interview that you plan to seek re-election in 2014. Are you ruling out the possibility of taking some kind of job in the Obama administration?
I'm enjoying the job I have right now very, very much. We've worked hard to get where we are, where the economy is coming back. It hasn't been easy. That's no understatement there. And so I'm looking forward to the good years ahead here in Rhode Island.
So you're not ruling out the possibility of doing something other than running for governor in 2014?
That's what I'm working for. That also involves raising money and all those mechanics that it takes, which I am doing.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Governor Lincoln Chafee.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks, Scott.